Hey, audio listener, you are a miracle because more and more people are watching this on video. But you like the audio medium. I get it. If you feel like some of these sketches or bits don't work that you're listening to, often they're accompanied by something visual. But I want to let you know that the show is, of course, daily. LotterWithCredit.com/MuckClub is where you subscribe. $69 annually if you're a student, veteran, or military. And we appreciate the support. And if you feel like you're missing out on some visual gags, head on over to YouTube to watch the whole thing. Enjoy the show. Hey, in 1 second, you'll have the intro and what you missed. Before you enjoy the show, please know that it is supported by viewers like you. I don't say it like PBS, where we're supported by viewers like you, but really grants from the federal government. We are entirely funded by you and mugs. We're not monetized right now. LotterWithCredit.com/MugClub. It's $99 annually, $69 for students, veterans, active military. You get this hand-etched mug, but you get a show like this that you enjoy on YouTube on Thursdays. Every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there's Ash Wednesday. We also have life advice. And you can send in your video questions or fan videos, artwork at louderwithcredit.com/ask. We really do appreciate the support, and this show doesn't continue without it. Funded entirely by you. Enjoy the show. It's a hot dog. He likes it!
My penis is my penis.
Get it together, Brendan.
I had a rumor that you, obviously a man of you are well off, a man of means, that you exclusively put your cigars and carry them into the most opulent, beautiful cigar lounges in a Tupperware container. Is there any truth to this?
Truth.
Oh! I'm enlightened, you son of a bitch.
What?
If you feel that it's a sin, or you feel convicted that it's wrong, it means for you that is the case. So if you think your pecker is small, it must be really bad.
Just a fact.
He is a silly.
Lauder with Crowder Studios, protected exclusively by Walther.
And Betty!
Steve Crowder is a gross person. I mean,
Steven Crowder, I mean, this is what you can expect from trash like him.
YouTube dragged its feet before taking any action against conservative commentator Steven Crowder.
Hmm. Who is that Steven Crowder?
Steven Crowder is YouTube's ideal creator. He makes cheap, long content that tons of people watch and subscribe to.
His voices are really funny, so congrats on that.
You know what you can do with your copyright strikes? And if you ain't man enough to do it yourself, I'd be happy to oblige.
Everybody's tweeting at me.
I really would.
Going on their shows and saying all kind of things, but I don't mind. From where I am, the sun is shining, here to entertain. Anyone who don't like it can get boned. Get bone.
Hey, F you, eh, Steven Crowder?
teacup ride. If anyone's ever played it at Disney World, you'd spin the table and you're at the mercy of your babysitter who later did hard time. Hi, Nancy. True story.
You gotta bleep that.
You ever do that? You know, the teacup ride?
Yeah. I thought you were failing at hula hooping.
I do that
as well. I throw up every time.
That's mainly because I'm very white. Anyone who can name the reference to the intro, you get a free t-shirt because my half-Asian lawyer didn't know. It was nominated for the Academy Award.
I'm sorry, I was in a prison.
John Voight, Dustin Hoffman. Not I haven't introduced you yet. Question of the day before we get to Gavin McInnes will be on the show. I don't just want to know why you think Donald Trump will win in 2020. I want to know, think of where you were this time last year. Are you more or less confident that he'll win? Why? Let me know. I really want to see that progression. For me now, if I'm not a Vegas odds maker, but I would say plus 19,000. I think he wins.
I think that, yeah.
I think it's as close to a sure bet as you can get in politics. Half Asian lawyer Bill Richmond is here. How are you, sir?
Great. Glad to be here.
Quarter Black Garrett is here.
What's
How are you,
Sean?
That's terrible. Audio Wade, Too Cute Maddie. And he's on vacation, so we have Gerald B here today.
That's Gerald C.
Gerald C. That's right. Yes. Gerald B, unfortunately, had an accident with a safety
traveling
pin.
The high seas.
He's gone on to a better place.
No longer.
Heaven.
But I love Gerald C.
Gerald C. Yeah, he's a good
guy. He does a great lamprey. Gerald C., do your lamprey.
That's so good.
You are a gorgeous.
It's
an invasive species.
It's a crack up.
It was in the Great Lakes that made its way with a zebra mussel through Lake Champlain. Bernie, we're looking at you. Let's see the lamprey one more time. Look at that. Look at this perfect
so lifelike.
My gosh.
A lamprey goes. They got it perfect. We have a lot to get to. We'll be talking about the debates. We'll be talking about why Donald Trump will win in 2020, Gavin McInnes. But first, Donald Trump made his pilgrimage to India, and let's watch Indians for Macho Man Trump. I will never write anything as good as Macho Man. early reports, they had indicated that Donald Trump walked to the stage with the Village People's Macho Man play. These were the early stories. But it turned out it was a mix-up. The song was actually for the evening's MC, an opening act, famous Bollywood celebrity impersonator, Macho Iman Randeep Savage.
Oh, yes! Dig it, brother! Yes!
Well,
that is the first time I've seen it. It is grossly offensive on so many levels.
You're welcome.
Only to Randy Savage.
Hope the retainer's worth it. It was a big thing. India did roll out the red carpet for President Trump. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi shouted Namaste Trump to the crowd, which repeated it back to a very happy Donald Trump. However, once the president realized the streets were littered with human fecal matter, he said Namaste at the embassy, okay?
I thought it was in India, not San Francisco.
I have no idea. It's pretty much the same thing at this
not
point.
Too far
it's
off.
I got confused.
But there's an app for it. Do you know that? There's an app in San Francisco.
Really?
Rather than cleaning up the human shit, they say, the people in Silicon Valley between urinating on the redwoods and then worshiping Moloch, they can figure out an app so that we can avoid stepping on the human feces. You know what? That's not the entry point to the problem solution.
This is the peak Silicon Valley right there.
This is peak Silicon Valley. Also in the news, things that we don't like, speaking of Mike Bloomberg, he's been getting panned, obviously, for the debate performance Tuesday night, especially over just some of the horrendous attempts at jokes.
Well, I think what's right for New York City isn't necessarily right for all the other cities. Otherwise, you'd have a naked cowboy in every city.
And it only gets more awkward because he paused.
Right.
Like, right? Right? And no one laughed.
Right.
Much like this program here.
Right.
You can't see that we have four people in the audience. Yeah. It's really just producers who are... I mean, they're legally obligated here.
Yeah, that's true.
Already filling out pink slips.
Form a union. Don't show up Friday. So while Bloomberg didn't do as badly as the last debate, some experts do feel that Michael Bloomberg actually was, he was doing...
What did somebody say Bloomberg?
You said Bloomberg three times.
Okay, so a rabbi, a priest, and a Jew.
Okay, that's just two Jews. Yeah. Bloomberg, that's enough. There's just two Jews. He's not even telling the joke. What?
What's going on? Bloomberg,
all right, he's got my vote.
What are you doing, Mayor Bloomberg?
Stephen, I'm planking.
Okay, no one plank. That's not a thing anymore. That's not a plank. Cool. Planking is not a thing.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, Boomer.
Okay, get out.
Come on, get out.
Get out. Bloomberg, everyone. Thank you for.
He just works so hard at it.
He has an outro, too. What the heck?
No, get in here. Yeah, I was going to say, he can buy everyone off. Audio Wade!
I'm sorry.
Audio Wade!
I'm sorry, 150.
Citizens United, you
Corporations are people.
Get corporate money out of the audio booth. Our top story, too, this week, or one of them, is Harvey Weinstein. He was indicted and could face life in prison. Two counts of predatory sexual assault, one count of criminal sexual act in the first degree. This is big. A lot of people are talking about it. Here is actually a clip from his sentencing.
I want to start by thanking Harvey Weinstein for organizing this amazing day. Harvey. This is possible because of Harvey. He is a wonderful human being, a good friend, and just a powerhouse. And the fact that he and his team took the time to make this happen for all of you should say something, not about me or about this place, but about you.
That should say a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh.
From his photo negative of Sigourney Weaver. You may know him, Mr. Weinstein, as a convicted rapist, a ruthless misogynist, merciless producer in one of the most cutthroat industries in the world. But I know him as my friend Harvey.
Feel touched inappropriately.
It's a children's book if I ever heard one. I just, the thing that bothers me about the wine is now everyone talks of it. Like, oh yeah, Harvey Weinstein was an open secret.
I totally hated that guy.
We have Whoopi, right?
Yep.
We have Whoopi, we have Blake Lively, we have Michelle Obama. There's someone else in there. I don't know who it is. Like, no one just says, like, yeah, I screwed him and I got an Oscar.
Right.
And I do wonder, too, if the secret now in Hollywood, considering you see what's been coming out, if the Harvey Weinstein secret now is the pedophilia going on in Hollywood.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's some ring of Illuminati, but it is something that is abnormally common in the industry compared to the general population. I bet you in 5 years we'll be talking about it. Everyone will go, like, oh, yeah, we all knew.
Yeah.
We all knew. Yeah, the Kevin Spacey thing, it wasn't news to us. So anyway.
Every one of those is a thing where they knew about it and it's an open secret. People are joking. I mean, the fact that people have been joking about some of these things for decades, just like with Michael Jackson.
Right.
Everyone's joking about it, and yet now it actually
happens. What happened with Michael Jackson?
I think it was that he had like a couple of good songs.
Is that it?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
that was
beat it. That was
you should
one.
See the B-sides.
Right. Yeah.
It was just him singing about his preferences. That was all.
That was it.
I'm looking at the boys through the window. Okay, this cannot make air, Michael.
No.
So I had a little
that's
too much Jesus juice. La, 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 la. Michael's world. So,
ooh, that's a different pedophile.
That is a different pedophile.
That's a
different pedophile. The Elmo guy. Like I said, it's just like they're just rats everywhere. Pedophiles in Hollywood. Who would have thought? Elmo, the guy who did Elmo.
Oh,
he's not even on camera, and it went to his head. It went to his head. He had groupies. He was a puppeteer for Elmo. And then there was that documentary in The Dark Crystal. For those who don't know, the guy who played Elmo had untoward relationships with younger men. He was booted unceremoniously after they did this whole documentary on Netflix to be inspiring. There's a documentary on The Dark Crystal, the making of it. It's unbelievable. You see how they build up all these sets and these puppets. And I'm watching it. And I go, wait, pause. And then I try to digital zoom, and I realize I can't do it because not everything's a touchscreen. You ever do that with your TV? You're like, I'm just an idiot.
It's not Blade Runner.
I've never done that.
What did I expect from you, Vizio? So... it's the Elmo guy at Dark Crystal. They just don't want to talk about it. He's just right back in there working with kids.
Don't look at me.
All right. International news. Mexico, they have a 22-foot statue of baby Jesus that looks just like Phil Collins.
Yeah.
You see that there?
That is amazing.
Yeah. Whoa.
It also might be the biggest sculpture of baby Jesus in the world. Yeah, look at that thing. This is obviously a lot of people have been offended, and it is ridiculous. Everyone knows that Christ looked like Peter Gabriel.
In your eyes. The light, the heat, complete.
It's uncanny.
Wow.
It is uncanny.
He walks amongst us.
And of course, by the way, we should also be clear in the spirit of fairness, black Hebrew Israelites, they have a claim that Jesus looked strikingly like Teddy Pendergrass.
Somebody loves you back.
He's the son of soul.
That was funky.
We should be so lucky.
That's
be
the
our
great
bump music,
he is. You know what? I see it too.
Yeah.
Just acknowledge that black people are more talented when it comes to music?
I mean, honestly.
There is a genetic component that black people... When you meet a black person who can't sing, you're like, oh.
Something's gone wrong. When you play piano, maybe.
You're like, think fast. And you toss some kind of a microphone in his hand. Somebody loves you back. You're like, I knew it.
Yeah.
Knew it. It's totally happening.
That's not racist, right? Because it's a compliment.
It's a
as long as it's a discriminatory compliment.
Come on.
By the way, this next story is just sad. The actor known for portraying, you remember McGruff the crime dog? He got 16 years.
Wow.
16 years in prison on drugs and weapons charges. Yeah. And of course, he's best known for the tagline, take a bite out of crime.
Right.
It's sad. It's the saddest news, actually, for a child PSA character since Smokey the Bear was indicted on charges of child pornography. Oh. And that one was really hard.
Smokey.
I mean, that's a tough one.
Come on.
You usually don't hear the audience here, like there are four people, but I'm pretty sure you guys could hear, oh!
The humanity.
It was like I walked up and punched every single producer in this room in the gut, like, oh, oh, oh! Smokey the Bear, pedophile, oh, bad!
I am offended.
I shouldn't be in this room. I shouldn't be in this room. I shouldn't be here.
No.
But Vox made it so.
That's true.
They did.
If not for Vox, I would have absolutely been banned.
That's true.
They only made us stronger. Thank you, Vox. Speaking of animals, by the way, the Santa Anita horse racetrack, three horses have died in 3 days. This comes from HuffPo. On top of the dozens that have died since 2019, these three deaths have been drawing scrutiny from government officials and animal rights activists. Wow. Suspicious activity. It sounds like a job for... Say you, Doc Trotson. Now that's terrible. And there were some people here wondering if you're not going to do the whole Benedict Cumberbatch, Sherlock horse intro.
Right. Yeah.
You've never watched the show.
Yeah.
You don't know how it goes. We put so much work into it, we have to let it play out.
Gotta go.
Finally, speaking of because horses like oats, John Oates. Or as I know him,
that's a segue.
That was really good.
As I know him, the lesser of Hall and Oates.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that mustache.
He came out this week and said that he's had sex with thousands of women.
Wow, dude.
At least so many that he's lost count.
Wow.
And he added, if you weren't a rock star during the 70s or 80s, you can't comprehend what it was like. Sex with thousands. Really, here's the thing. It shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone who was actually listening.
Got an itch, girl, and it's gone so far that I think I'm gonna get it checked out. And you may laugh, but it ain't that funny, cause when it scratches the damn thing, it's bloody. It's a bitch, girl, and it's gone so far, doctor said he's gonna have to amputate my wiener, but it won't get me too far, get me too far.
Oh, man. It's my groove, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, man.
I really do appreciate everyone who works with this team. And, you know, if you unionize, you'll be fired immediately. But, how much does it bother you? And I think I don't want to piss you off here, but that you worked so hard. You have such a great voice. You're so talented musically. He created that scratch from track. We wrote the lyrics. You sang it. And the whole sketch is just stolen out from under you by this son of a bitch with a mustache.
I'm curious.
Why was Mario?
Can you do the hip stand up? Show him the hips there again.
I'm so angry.
There's a natural rhythm there. You can't fake that.
Yeah. What I gotta say?
Every part of that is good, but then everyone here just lost you. You do the hips. You're just like, okay, all right, that's funny. Oh, I'm jealous and I'm very sad. Nothing I do will ever be as funny as his mandolin playing, whatever it is. There was a fighter, Anderson Silva. He would always look like he would play the mandolin after he'd
win. Is that what?
And then people were like, I don't know, is this like a pelvic thrust thing? And he's like, I play after fight mandolin. They're like, well, okay, that's just gay. So, trivia contest winner, by the way, before we move on to the segment, who is it?
Halcom Barbecue at Smokin' Ronnie, who correctly identified the racist restaurant owner we prank called.
That's right, Otis.
Otis.
We need to pay Otis a visit.
Yeah, we do.
I want to show him the big Ed McMahon check that he has to cash for like 4 cents.
He deserves it.
Yeah, Otis. Otis. Cultural differences. Okay, and now it is time to get to the meat segment. Some people call it a dive-in segment, but that's because they didn't know what it was called. Yeah. We called it the meat segment.
But then we wouldn't be able to use that raw meat in the video.
Yeah, and did we actually film that? The raw meat?
I don't remember.
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, totally.
By the way, carnivore diet. Do you know that? You know carnivore diet?
Yeah, totally.
I've lost 8 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's official, by the way.
I don't believe you.
No, I don't. I wanted to give horrible diet advice. And I had to pause because I realized if I said anything more, I could be legally liable. Yeah, but, you know, you try it for yourself. And
shut
see,
the showdown button.
See how the scurvy works out. So, Donald Trump is, I want to declare this outside of some kind of catastrophic economic event. I still got some ribeye fat from the carnivore diet.
Oh, the carnivore.
Yeah. Also, my pants are just filled to the brim with diarrhea.
Actions pros, have consequences. Cons,
yeah. That's why I couldn't do the hit
cause
dance.
And effect.
Yeah. It's just, but it's a system that your body's, it's a system that your body's purging. Did you know that? That's what these people do with like essential oils, cleanses, and then they do some radical diet. You're like, oh, I don't know, I'm vomiting and diarrheaing all over the walls uncontrollably.
It's
like
part
my
of it.
My master bedroom. It looks like a sunburst pattern. It was a white wall. There's like that's just your body detoxifying.
Yeah.
Detoxifying what? Whatever it was that
toxins.
Was before this carnivore diet.
Yeah,
oh, okay,
toxins,
good.
Man.
Like mercury, or we don't have a way to test. Just keep eating nothing. But kidneys. Okay.
Before when you were eating vegetables and fruits, right?
Right,
your
exactly.
body's like, purge.
Purge this. Yeah. Purge the green. So I do think that Donald Trump is going to win 2020. I feel that I can declaratively state that at this point. But let me tell you kind of why. And I do want to know what you think out there. Before we move on, you have to place a bet. What chances do you place on Donald Trump winning 2020? First, you have Asian.
100.
Really?
Yep.
You feel that confident?
Yep.
You did say 100% that he gets impeached in the House, and you were correct.
Yep.
Though, let's be honest, that wasn't really a gamble.
Nope. Neither is this.
I mean, at this point, 100%. Like, they look ridiculous. I'm going to hedge my bets.
You're going to hedge your bets?
I'm going to hedge my bets.
Bets?
Yeah, I'm going to hedge your
bets. You're talking like Brazilian
now? I'm coming from the accent, okay.
Yeah. What do you think there, audio weight?
I don't know how betting works, but I don't think 100% is a way
you didn't let
measuring.
Me finish!
But I do think he's going to win.
Yeah, I think he's going to win, too. And I want to know what you folks think out there. Or you,
what about
singular
Gerald?
Viewer. Yeah. Oh, he's still doing the lamprey!
That guy's a cut-up.
He really is. I mean, you guys just, you can't appreciate
the dedication to craft.
It's a one-trick pony, but that one-trick, baby, that's
you know,
good.
You can't put a price on. It's like Ronda Rousey. She only had one move, but it worked for so long.
Yeah.
You can't put a price on vibe.
Right.
You know, when we hire here at Let Him Fed, we do the golden ticket, and what he adds to the room, it's just, it's intangible. It can't be quantified.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But look, every time when I'm feeling a bad day, I look, and I get this. I get him, just those eyes looking back at me. And I know he loves me. Yeah. I can tell. So a couple of things here. I'm definitely more confident than at this point last year. I wouldn't say 100% because I don't want to be embarrassed, but you guys apparently don't have a problem with it. Thank you, Hall. but I am more confident because things have changed. I used to say that Bernie would be the hardest candidate for Donald Trump to beat. I thought Elizabeth Warren would be the easiest. I still think that remains true, but I think that Bernie Sanders is actually far easier to beat than he would have been this time last year, which we'll get to in a second. But really, I want to be very clear here. Don't get complacent, folks, because now you have some people out there saying, for example, all these people in this studio saying 100%. They're lying. They're just not honest people. My point is,
110.
Don't think because Bill doesn't get to vote 3 million times. It's still only one vote. So you need to go out and vote. Don't get complacent with this. But thus far, here's the first point as to why I think Donald Trump will be president in 2020. And you've heard me be critical of him when I think it's necessary. I'm not a cheerleader. I've talked about when I think he runs the risk of losing. Thus far, the Democrats, the debates, it's just been an absolute mess.
Think raising
Let's talk about
the minimum wage to
I'm
a living
to
wage.
To the question
Do we think building
really
the millions of
this
units
really
of affordable housing
if
that we need?
Ask that
Do we think
question,
raising taxes on
next no, question? No, no, no. Next you question. My answer.
She looks like she's wearing a stuntman helmet.
Thank you. Senator Warren and Mayor Bloomberg.
Look at
the question. It's for you. I want to talk about, and maybe this is appropriate.
Can I just?
Okay.
You knew.
Look at this. You knew when you bought it they'd done that.
Look, that looks like a pre-fight press conference.
It's amazing.
A little bit,
Tom Steyer.
WWE,
He looks like the kind of guy who would have gray hair his whole life and then walk into the office with completely blonde hair one day and be mad at you if you noticed.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, something...
Like, something like, what are you talking about? Why are you paying such attention to my hair?
Stop.
Like, Tom, stop with the homophobia. So they've done something remarkable. Democrats, it's a miracle. They've made President Trump seem sane and like the only adult in the room.
Incredible.
You watch these debates and you go, man, this is like, we need some reason here. Can someone bring in President Trump? And that's just not me as a conservative. That's what people are saying. Everyone widely acknowledges these as an absolute dumpster fire. Here's another point why I think Donald Trump will be president. You have the Bernie Sanders, the schism. Is it schism or schism?
Schism.
It is schism. I know. I just wanted to give Audio Wade a chance to chime in because he gets mad at me if he doesn't chime in. He's like, you don't get a lot to say. I'm like, okay, we get it, superstar. So.
I do say that.
Get some swivel hips. You'll get more airtime.
We only reward merit here. Lampreys and swivel hips.
Lampreys and swivel hips.
Yeah.
So the only... Just so you know, quarterback, you're going to be swiveling your hips in every sketch we can find.
I'm okay with that, man.
You sounded Mexican.
That was a little Mexican.
Not, that's why we thought you spoke Spanish for years. So the only front runner we have right now is Bernie, okay? Let's talk about this kind of this schism. He's caused this massive rift in the Democratic Party, okay? So you have you have these other Democrats, or they call them now establishment Democrats, as they used to be known. All non-Bernie Democrats. And then you have talking heads who are basically saying that Bernie Sanders, who's the frontrunner, is a stooge, a Nazi. He's a tool for Putin. Basically, pretty similar to everything that they threw at Donald Trump.
The happiest person right now, it's about 1:15 Moscow time. This thing is going very well for Vladimir Putin. I promise you. He's probably staying up watching us right now. How you doing, Vlad?
That's absolutely right. And James, there's reporting that that's
someone
exactly
that into a gross
what the
gift.
Intelligence agencies think is going on.
I got a brief
that Putin is helping him or plans to help him in the primary.
What happens if Bernie Sanders wins? I'm pretty sure he has a lot to say about billionaires.
No one but Bernie, Stephanie. Come on, he's an anarchist. He would love to burn down the United States.
I'm reading last night about the fall of France in the summer of 1940, and the general, Renault, calls up Churchill and says, it's over. Do they want Bernie Sanders to take over the Democratic Party in perpetuity?
Well,
I mean, he takes it over. He sets the direction for the future of the party. Maybe they'd rather wait 4 years and put in a Democrat that they like.
Chris Matthews always seems surprised that he has that job. Like, huh? Oh, really? What do you think of Bernie Sanders? Like, well, what are you doing? What?
How did I get
What's
here?
The red light? Is it Christmas? That's the camera light. Shit! it's remarkable. Nice. They really have become the party of old white guys.
Truly.
With the exception of Klobuchar, who's really honestly the only one who seems like an adult. I know people don't like her.
Well,
I watched her in that debate.
Young. She's young.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. With the exception of Klobuchar, I actually thought she handled herself pretty well. So you have them going after Bernie this way. And I do think that some of those characterizations are unfair. He's not a Nazi. He's a pinko commie. And I mean that seriously. I mean that absolutely seriously.
Right,
like when you think people say, okay,
yes.
Boomer, and they're talking about some relative who would say, I think he's a communist, that guy in his mind was picturing Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He's an actual he went on his honeymoon at the USSR.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Bernie.
Like, Turks and Caicos, Barbados. Let's go to Latvia. I don't know. I know Latvia isn't, but I don't know all the USSR,
it's
Russia.
Over there.
Point
Turkey
is,
Minnesota.
It sucks. Yeah. It sucks. It's a crappy country with people I don't respect. On the other side. You have entire nationality of people. No respect. That's okay. You have...
No respect at all.
It's okay. They're white. So you have Bernie on the flip side and all of his supporters, right? And I understand the pushback, but this is why it's only going to get worse, I think, for the Democrats, at least for the time being until they narrow this down, where they accuse all non-Bernie supporters of being establishment and centrist or just flat-out evil billionaire elitists. That's their attack.
As you may have noticed lately... The establishment's getting a little bit nervous.
I wanted to go back to what you said about our left party. We don't have a left party in the United States. The Democratic Party is not a left party.
She says while literally sitting to the left of that gentleman.
Is he like eating a Hot Pocket? Is that why he's eating?
Hot Pockets are great.
He burnt his mouth on a pizza pocket.
There are a lot of folks who are concerned about his rise and his surge, especially among young voters, that this may be causing some trouble for the establishment. Does that concern you at all?
Well, we need to cause trouble for the establishment because the establishment is who we're fighting against.
It has come up from a candidate who almost all of the establishment has pinned their main hopes on, and he's talking about bribing politicians in a positive way.
Yeah.
He's like, now remember Goldman Sachs. He's talking to Goldman Sachs. He didn't have to repeat it. They all already knew. Remember Goldman Sachs. What you do with politicians is you bribe them.
Because we wouldn't want to talk to people at Goldman Sachs.
No.
That would be absolutely absurd. Establishment is just the word that they throw. And here's the crazy thing compared to Donald Trump, because I know this has been talked about with Donald Trump. He's anti-establishment. But there's something to it, right? There's some teeth to it, because if you're anti-establishment as a conservative, as an outsider, as a Republican, you're actually trying to some degree tear down the system. You're actually trying to some degree to shrink the role of the establishment in D.C. When Bernie complains about the establishment, it's because he yearns to be that. He wants to have, or Bloomberg, when they talk about the establishment, they want to determine what sodas you can drink. Whenever someone says pro-choice, I won't use that term. They're pro-abortion. I'm pro-life. They're pro-abortion. They're not pro-choice when it comes to what car you can drive, what kind of soda you can drink, what you can pay in taxes, where you can send your charitable donations. They're not pro-choice in any other facet outside of ending the life of another human being inside your stomach, right? They're not pro-choice at all. It's remarkable to me. They're anti. How can you be anti-establishment, just like Rage Against the Machine, when they campaign for Obama?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You rage against the machine by endorsing it.
Except for this machine.
No, I mean, the reality is, and this is the thing that I think that some of the Democratic candidates, and even amongst the mainstream Democratic voters, they're realizing it's just Bernie trying to come on top of the establishment. He doesn't want to tear down the edifice. He actually wants to make more of an establishment through bigger government programs. And everyone's going, wait a minute. I thought you didn't like the establishment, but it's just you want to run it. That's
right.
It. That's what the change is.
And I think, so going back to the point on Bernie, I used to think Bernie would be tough. Why? Let me explain to you, and this was a lot, if you go back and watch the segments. I thought, okay, Hillary Clinton lost a lot of states that surprised me. For example, Michigan. I think Bernie does well in those states because of the unions, right? It's easy to appeal to unions as a socialist more. A lot of the unions just believe that Hillary Clinton was an elitist. And the same thing with Michael Bloomberg, right? I don't think that Michael Bloomberg has any chance of winning the Rust Belt. I think Bernie has a better choice, or at least I thought he would have had a better choice to winning the Rust Belt against Donald Trump, and that's kind of what he needs to win this election. Here's the thing, though. Now we've reached a different point. He's a socialist revolutionary, right? Self-described. Right, yeah. Well, a revolution means a 180 change in direction. It means you got to change everything because nothing's working. But 90% of Americans don't want that right now. 90% of Americans are satisfied with their own personal finances. Right. Things are getting better for the average American. A lot better. The tax cuts, they reduced the income tax bill for, by the way, not just the super wealthy, the median income households by nearly 60%. Wow. Record low unemployment. Also layoffs. Also high job participation rate. We have increases in household income, wage growth, record-breaking stock market. On top of that, we have people who are finally taking note of how good the economy is, according to a poll, because Mr. Sanders is almost entirely determined by polls. If you look at his policies, it's like, well, if you look at 80% support, 90% that's a lot of people.
It's like almost all of
them. We understand, Bernie, that you had a bad high school experience and now you want some friends. All right, we get it. Just like you're the guy who shows up to a party with an acoustic guitar, puff, pass. You're a piece of shit. That's my point, okay? But here's the thing. The Trump economy right now, he actually has the highest economic approval rating of any president in the last 20 years. Wow. Overall approval right now,
that's gonna 49%. Be tough to fight.
Yeah, his overall approval rating, and if you compare his disapproval, way better than Barack Obama at this point in his presidency. So it's really hard. I don't know what the argument is, and this is why you see that letter that was being circulated from Nancy Pelosi. If you were saying, I'm a socialist revolutionary, I need to change this system, that would make sense after the economic collapse.
Right.
Right, when you're going back to the stock market crash in 2008. Okay. Absolutely. It doesn't really make sense that we're going to tear this whole system down and start anew when it's better than it's ever been, according to 90% of Americans. I think Bernie Sanders is far less appealing right now, and the numbers should startle them. Does anyone else see this?
Yeah, Americans aren't stupid. They're not going to see these numbers and think we need something different. Yeah.
Right.
They recognize that ideas have the consequences that we're seeing.
Well, it's when he's pushed for the details. That's when everyone goes, well, but I don't know that we can afford an X number of tens of trillions of dollars, because I feel like that's not going to change things in a way that we really want it to change.
Right.
And instead of saying, you know, look, I mean, there's something to be said about I believe that the changes need to happen. Some of the more centrist candidates who say, hey, I'm gonna make these changes because I think we're going to do a little bit of a degree change, instead of someone who says they want to turn the boat around, but really they just want to be the captain.
Right. And I think it's important to note, by the way, this has been a boat turnaround. So if you want to talk about the radical change, well, first off, let's go back through history. The radical idea was this idea of a free society. Of free enterprise. We didn't want royalty. We didn't want what effectively developed into what we now know as European socialism. I know that didn't exist back in the day, but we are talking about an oppressive government who had too much control of people's lives. This country was a great experiment in that we said, government limited. The role, I've described this before, it's like a hockey referee, right? You keep the pace of the game, make sure the players are safe. Otherwise, you keep your mouthpiece in, period. You keep your mouthpiece, your whistle. Well, I was like, what's the word? My weenie whistle. The rape whistle in hockey. You keep it in your pocket. In other words, you do not overly invade people's lives. You don't call fouls or you don't call penalties that have nothing to do with the action around the puck. If someone's not hurting anybody, that's not the role of the government, right? It's a very libertarian stance. That is the role of the government. Then we had Barack Obama. And by the way, not just Barack Obama. You could also toss George W. Bush in there, and you could toss Bill Clinton in there. They were all pretty big government Republicans. Yeah. I have to acknowledge that. I think a lot of people do. And then Donald Trump campaigned on reversing that course. And here's the thing. Before Donald Trump, I was worried that you would never have any other conservatives. And now we see Generation Z is going to be the most conservative generation ever. Why? We had a lot of people, baby boomers, right? If people look at boomers now, and it's become, okay, boomer, which is so disrespectful. It's like, really? Really? You're texting that from the phone that it was created by boomers, you ass? Okay, boomer. You mean like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, you ungrateful little pissant? So,
well, Bernie's actually older than a boomer,
that's
right?
That's true.
So yeah. That's why they're, yeah. You know,
right. I guess
confusing.
People would say to him, okay, greatest generation of all time. But not you, though. So I think it's important to note, like, baby boomers were really, really liberal. They were the ones putting the daisy in the rifle. Yeah. They were flower power. And then what happened? They experienced Jimmy Carter. And then they experienced Ronald Reagan. So they had contrast. And then they became more conservative when they got older. And I was always concerned when I grew up. I was saying, man, we don't really have that in our lifetime. We have Bill Clinton and George W. Bush. There's not really that strong of a contrast. And then we had Barack Obama that was a continuation of that. And yeah, he's definitely more charismatic. So I thought young people, since they don't have the contrast of conservatism versus leftism, they're not going to naturally revert back to being conservative as they get older like baby boomers did. Mm-hmm. All that's required for people to be more conservative as they age is that they witness it. But up until Donald Trump, no one had witnessed it or anything even close to it. But here's the thing. When Bernie Sanders talks about being a revolutionary, no. The revolutionary sort of about-face, the change, was Donald Trump going in, and it's what they bitch about. The slashing of regulations, the slashing of taxes for people across the board. This is very new for people who might be in their early 20s entering the workforce, where now, even if they're liberal, they have this as a baseline. And then what happens if there's another Barack Obama or another Bernie Sanders who admitted that anyone making over $29,000 is going to see a drastic increase in taxes, go back to our segment on that, with universal health care, Medicare for all. So if you have a 22-year-old liberal today who thinks that he likes Bernie Sanders, but he's getting X amount in his paycheck, then Bernie becomes president, and it's X minus 20%, 10%, guess what? You've made a conservative for life.
Right.
So I think it's important to realize that the Rock Against Bush, No FX, Rage Against the Machine, they are the machine. Bernie Sanders is offering nothing new, and the good thing here is it is going to create more conservatives in this generation than I think we've ever seen. And now, since the polls aren't good for Bernie and they're good for Donald Trump, Bernie has decided to not so much focus on the economy. He is determined to make sure that he's going to do everything in his power, at least, no promises, to get an F rating from the NRA.
I have today a D-minus voting record from the NRA.
All right.
30 years ago, I likely lost a race for the one seat for Congress in Vermont because 30 years ago, I supported a ban on assault weapons. We must be aggressive on gun safety, not be dictated to by the NRA. And I am proud that I have a D-minus voting record from the NRA. If elected president, it will get worse than that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your F president. Game change.
So right. you know what I like is his admission there is he's saying, look, what you know about me now makes you think I'm a D-minus. Anyone who's on the fence or in favor of the Second Amendment. But trust me, I'm not telling you how, but it's going to get way worse.
It's going to get worse.
So the secret is your rights will be more restricted than you can even imagine based on what I'm telling you now.
Listen, when I was mayor, I had a D-minus from the NRA, but that was in Vermont, which is largely homogenous and white. When I'm president, what people have not taken into account is my blatant racism as well. F coming your way.
And then he flashes the Crip sign. You're like, come on. We all know that you're Latin king.
Playing the sides. Yeah. Come on.
He's got the teardrop tattoo. By the way, hit the notification bell if you're subscribed here on YouTube and hit all notifications because subscriptions don't mean a whole lot. And do consider joining Mug Club. I know a lot of you enjoy the Thursday show. We have shows behind the paywall every day
and
similar
podcasts.
To this. And podcasts.
Lotofcredit.com/Mug Club.
And, of course, there's Mark Levin. You have Dave Rubin. You have Ali Stuckey. You have Roaming Millennial. You have Glenn Beck. You have all kinds of people over there. We try to give you your dollars worth. And we're not funded by a foreign caliphate.
No.
So, you know, but we'll take it, Al Jazeera. You're in the red. You're just hemorrhaging money. That Young Turks investment isn't quite paying off. YouTube had to step in with their news initiative, but we can do it. We'll even wear the funny hats. Oh, so yeah. Here's something else I think people are forgetting. A lot of people don't realize, I don't want to say he's a good debater, but Donald Trump is a very effective debater.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have that. You have some people like this who are, for example, an analogy would be boxers. Like, I would love to have George Foreman on the show. I think he would be one of the best guests ever. George Foreman was criticized for not being a great boxer. That may or may not be true. He was a very effective boxer. A lot of people said he just had that power. But what he would do is he would use a sort of cross guard. He would go in and he would use a technique that kept himself safe that didn't really look pretty, but he knocked everybody out before Ali, pretty much. And then he won the heavyweight championship at 42. So do not underestimate how effective Donald Trump can be on the debate stage. Whoever it is, in watching these debates, I think he'll eat their lunch. So for comparison, yeah. I want you to look at how Bernie Sanders reacted to boos from the crowd at this week's debate.
What I said is what Barack Obama said in terms of Cuba, that Cuba made progress on education. Yes, I think... Really? Really?
There's no comparison.
He's praising the Castro regime. And by the way, Bernie will say, only in this capacity. In any capacity! In any capacity at all, he's praising the Castro regime, and people boo. And like, he's almost like Chris Matthews. Not he's like, really? Yes, really!
I understand.
Yes, really, you crazy old coot!
He's so shocked. His eyes get so wide. It's amazing.
And people, if you think I'm cutting it out of context, go watch the whole debate. It's actually worse than I can show you. He just goes, really? Really? And then moves on its merry way.
Yeah, we don't have the time to show
what
all
I'm
that.
Saying is that Castro, he had good cigars and a fashion sense. It might as well be that. He has nothing to offer or justify. Here's a good rule. Whether it's Hitler, whether it's Castro, whether it's Stalin, even if you think they had some really tasty threads, just avoid any praise.
Yeah. It's
don't
safe to do that.
Do it. Don't do it.
And by the way, it's not like political correctness. It's not like we're walking backwards setting landmines.
Yeah.
You created a landmine from scratch. You created your own pipe bomb, put it down, and this looks like a good place to step. Oh, shit! Yeah. Like, you did this to yourself.
It's a tactical mistake.
No one expects you to praise Castro. You don't have to do that, Bernie. You don't have to praise communists.
He's being honest. He's being true to his own heart. His heart is red communist.
Yeah, red.
It's fine.
It brings back memories from his honeymoon.
Yeah, sweet.
Wonderful
memories. So that was him responding to boos, right? He backed up. That's also important to know. All these guys, when they were getting boos, and I do think Bloomberg stacked the audience, that is something people have talked about. It's legitimate. The tickets were really expensive. At one point, Bloomberg said, he goes, I really respect everyone who stepped in for this debate after I beat you all the last time. And even then, the audience he paid for was like, don't overplay your hand there.
Bad form. No, sir. Yeah. Stick
that jab and move. Let's try and get up on points. You're not going to be getting a knockout punch tonight, Mr. Shingles Face. So...
it's an insult to people with shingles.
Yes.
Yeah, it
they
really
look
is,
way
it
better
is.
Than
I don't even know what shingles is. Is there a vaccination for that?
It's probably the
We're
same place.
There's probably someone watching who's like, I knew he was paid by the vax people. I'm not getting into that at all. So that's him reacting to boos. Now let's compare this with a stacked audience, exactly Donald Trump in the same scenario. This was someone actually a Bernie fan, I think. He tweeted this out. It said, Twitter, does Bernie Sanders need to do this if the booing doesn't stop? And this is... the clip.
Let me talk quiet. That's all these donors and special interests out there. So, that's what it is. Just tell you, we needed tickets. You can't get them. You know who has the tickets for the, I'm talking about to the television audience? Donors, special interests, the people that are putting up the money. So it is. The RNC told us we have all donors in the audience, and the reason they're not loving me...
Look at this.
The reason they're not... Excuse me. Their money. I'm going to do the right thing for the American public. I don't want their money. I don't need their money. And I'm the only one up here that can say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows the real audience isn't in the room.
It's not
those people there.
Yes. He knows the audience are the people watching at home. That couldn't have been more embarrassing for Jeb Bush if Donald Trump rested his scrotum and testicles on his forehead on national television.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be less
humiliating. That would be bad.
Hey, Jeb, what are you... How did you like hard or soft serve? What? Oh. Because you're getting a swirly! Shake out the change from his pockets.
Okay, right.
Yes, that's a good point. He knows his audience is at home, and this has changed politics. I think a lot of people just say, oh, Donald Trump went against the establishment. No.
Yeah.
It's important. Obviously, a lot of these people have consultants. A ground game is talked about a lot. Right? People talk about a ground game. It's not as important as it used to be. Now, the ground game won Ted Cruz Iowa. Great. I think it won Bernie Iowa, if I'm not mistaken, with Hillary Clinton. I know Rick Santorum won Iowa back in the day, when, and then it ended up being Mitt Romney. So that's important. But guess what? With the internet now, everything you say at any point is the ground game, because people in Iowa will see that. People in New Hampshire will see that. Yeah, and Donald Trump understood he didn't need to speak to the moderators. He didn't need to speak to people in the audience. He needed to speak to people at home, which is ironic considering that Bernie fancies himself, you know, a man of the people. And he was so flustered by these donors there in the audience booing him. You shouldn't care. You shouldn't care about it. It should not be less relevant. The people at home are the ones who matter. And this is what was interesting, too. Replies were from people on Twitter. The response, there's a couple saying, holy crap, no wonder he got elected. Look at all these people responding on Twitter. Wow. So for a lot of these folks, this is another reason I think that Donald Trump is going to win. This is the first time in 3 years they've actually watched Trump in a debate instead of a clip that CNN has sliced and diced to make him look bad. Right. These disasters that are Democratic debates are forcing Americans who are not necessarily pro-Trump to go, oh, right. OK, I'm not getting any out of this. Let me see what Donald Trump has to say, as opposed to playing that game of telephone with Don Lemon saying what Donald Trump has to say. Yeah. And you see the reaction. They're going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know what? Not only is that a good point, this is going to be really hard to deal with. And most importantly, it shows that President Donald Trump has faced the exact same situations as you see with Bernie Sanders, and he's handled them far better.
You know, one thing I think is really interesting is when you watch that debate and you look at the number of Bernie fans who are saying, oh, this is a tactic, but actually listen to what Trump is saying there. He's saying, I'm being attacked by the establishment who has put these people here, and if you want to do something different, if you want to see this boat go in a different direction, choose me. And now that he's been president, he's made changes, and he's still under attack. If you look at any of the mainstream media, they constantly talk, anytime they can find a Republican to bag on Trump, they put it up there. And they want to say, look, even the Republican National Convention like doesn't like them.
Rick Wilson or Bill Kristol or Navarro.
Any of those guys, right? And so yet you go,
I am from Cuba, and Trump is not good. You are not good for me. More money, please. More money, please.
And they get those guys out there, and they go, hey, wait a minute. If you actually want to make a change instead of making government 10 or 20 times larger, but you want something different, actually, Trump is your guy.
Right. Yeah.
That's the person.
It also just comes, you cannot teach backbone necessarily, right? And I mean, there's also some unpredictability where we're talking about fighters. Some people, you don't know how to read them necessarily. That was another thing. Go back to Foreman. His punches to the body looked the exact same as his punch to the head. Muhammad Ali talked about that. You go out there with Donald Trump, and maybe he's going to debate policy with you. Maybe he's going to go out and talk about his poll numbers. Or maybe he's just going to stand there and say that your dad killed JFK.
Who knows?
You don't know. Is it coming down, or is it coming over the top? Your dad was on the grassy knoll. They're like, what the fuck?
While you're defending that, he's pummeling you in the midst.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were talking about the economy, and now you're talking. My wife, she's not even here anymore. Yeah, whose fault is that? But it is remarkable. We can see a direct comparison. Boos from a stacked crowd with Bernie, boos from a stacked crowd with Trump. It's very rare that before the actual debate of the two candidates, once they go through the primaries, that you get to see the exact same scenario for a comparison, for a contrast. We have that there, and it begs the question, why can Trump just speak through the boos and not care at the exact same issue, whereas Bernie shrinks into his suit like Tom Hanks at the end of Big? It's a visual. Let it sit in. You'll go, that's exactly what he did. Also, he looks like a kid in an old man suit like Tom Hanks from Big. Yeah, exactly. So let's go through the candidates real quick. We have to get to Gavin McInnes. Warren, let's say any of these people, she's obviously probably not going to be the candidate. Warren, Trump wins. Why? Because he just bull rushes her, right? He's not going to walk it back. The closest we have is, from an apology from Trump is with Carly Fiorina. Yeah, and all he said was, you got a good face. She's good. She's got a good face, right? Because he knew she was going to go after him.
Yeah.
Warren, he's not going to back away from Pocahontas. He's not going to back
down.
Away. He's only going to get where she has no chance.
Down.
Pete Buttigieg, no spine, no way he can handle it. It's going to look like a father spanking a child, and you know, I hate to say, Buttigieg also, every time they turn to him, I expect him to answer with, we can hardly stand the way, please Christmas don't be late. Men's butts! And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I also don't think he's gay. I think he's the only straight man whose gay husband is a beard.
You're talking about Chastain.
Yeah, I don't know. Klobuchar, she's kind of an unpredictable one here. I think she would actually probably be the hardest candidate for Trump to beat. I don't think it's likely that she's a nominee. What would Donald Trump do with Klobuchar? Just make stuff up. That's probably what he would do, let's be honest. Yeah. It's like, she's an unknown. Let me look through the Oppo. They would hand him Oppo research. He'd go, no.
I think I'm going to say that she's contaminating drinking water.
What?
Erin Brockovich tried to stab Klobuchar. Like, what are you talking about? I'm winning.
Mike Bloomberg. I think Mike Bloomberg, if he's a nominee, some people think he might. I think he defeats himself. Listen, this guy is Midwest poison, especially if he picks Hillary Clinton as a running mate. If people saw Hillary Clinton as an elitist, I don't know how they couldn't see that with Mike Bloomberg. And by the way, he didn't ban big gulps. This isn't a lot of people. He banned drinks over 16 ounces.
Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a dick, right?
That's no good.
And then as it comes to Bernie, Bernie, listen, we have a socialist revolutionary who wants to revolutionize the way we are living in America, which is the best economy that we've had on record, safer, no major wars, we're doing better than ever. I think that his whole pitch is unappealing, and he's also basically a pinko commie who went on his honeymoon to the USSR and now we know is fearful of the crowd. When you live by polls, all he ever does, a majority of Americans want insert his policy here with no way to pay for it. Guess what? You die by the polls. Yeah. And right now, Donald Trump is doing well in the polls, and we've seen that Bernie folds like a cheap suit if someone boos him, because that's where all of his self-worth is tied up. And I don't think he's going to be as popular as he thinks he's going to be. I think it's a walk-off for Donald Trump, barring something completely unforeseen. We have to go to Gavin McGinnis right now. Thank you, Gavin.
How do you feel about Tanzanian pea berries in your Wences?
I think it's a too acidic. Do it like we rehearse. These are good people, bro. No.
Okay, I just wanted to know if you guys got any Black Rifle coffee.
Okay, all right. I tried the coffee. Is that what you want? And it was good. Is that what you want to hear? Okay. I loved the perfect medium roast. The subtle notes of caramel with a bit of toffee on the after palate. The Saskatoon berry with a sliver of almond that comes through like marzipan. I loved every second of it. And you probably want to judge me for that, right? You probably feel like you're superior, but look at you, your plaid shirt, your aged denim jacket that you probably paid to have done by some kid in a sweatshop between shifts at Apple, your horn-rimmed glasses. Face it, you self-loathing hipster, you are just like me.
I am nothing like you.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll have it in stock next week.
Oh, great, thanks.
Bring your punch card.
Oh, will do.
Yeah.
Black Rifle Coffee.
BlackRifleCoffee.com. That was heavy. I just jammed my finger. BlackRifleCoffee.com/Crowder for 20% off your first order. Listen, they're a veteran-owned company. They do a lot for and with veterans. But what matters to you is, do they make good coffee? Do they sell? Yeah, listen, they really do. It's fantastic. I'm a coffee nerd. We're going to have some tutorials coming up here pretty soon. And we're also, here's one thing, we double ordered accidentally. We have an auto order every month for this office. We go through like 15 pounds of coffee a month, but we accidentally set it up so every week we're getting one, or every 4 weeks. The point is, it doesn't matter. We're going to give away this 5-pound bag. Comment below why you deserve this 5-pound bag of Black Rifle Coffee. This is the Beyond Black, I think. That's the really dark one. Also, I don't really love dark roast. Do you hear the thud of that? BlackRifleCoffee.com/Crowder. Comment below why you deserve this bag, and we will send it to one lucky fan.
All right, 3, 2, 1, action. Crowder County Feed and Seed, for all your feed and seed needs. And also a mug club.
Fuck.
How are
you doing?
Does that work?
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry about inconveniencing your day.
This city's changing.
All right.
I am here with Macho Iman, Randeep Savage, and Randeep, what do you have to say to the folks at home?
Ooh, DYT, we are coming for you. Ooh, mark my words. In April, we will surpass you in subscribers. Yes, ooh, yes. Ooh.
Well, you heard it here, folks. The gauntlet has been thrown. Your move, TYT.
You're an M&M. There's no point in wondering where your pockets are. Tasting smooth, creamy milk.
Did you you say tasty smooth? You're an M&M?
Yeah.
Because that reminds me, our next guest can probably talk about this. We've talked about it before, I believe. in Canada, there was, when people used to say M&M, frozen burgers, beef. Like in all the football game stuff, they would always say, is this M&M? It's confusing because it's, you know, it's still in the same vertical. It's a food item. And M&M, you would think they have some kind of, you'd think they have some kind of monopoly on it. And then the hip-hop came and messed it all up. So we had three M&Ms to worry about around when you're doing it phonetically. So that's a spoiler for people who don't know who our next guest is. He's also from the Great White North, or at least. I don't know if he has a dual citizenship or not, but today he wanted us to plug justiceforliberty.com, which we will get to in a second. Of course, he's the host of Get Off My Lawn on censored.tv. Gavin McInnes, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And you remember the M&M food stuffs?
M&M Meat Shops was started by Charles Rennie McIntosh and his son Doug McIntosh, and they called it McIntosh and McIntosh, and then was Mac and Mac, and then it was M&M, and it was premium quality meats used in meat pies, used for mince and tatties, and the cows came from Calgary, cowboy country.
Oh, well, there you go. So I wasn't wrong. They were very good. Yeah. Very good quality. And now I'm forced to just basically pick up the refuse from Costco. They're sirloin burgers. Did I say boogers? Sirloin burgers
basically.
Also delicious. Hey, Gavin, Senior McInnes, where are you right now?
I'm at the Gaylord Convention, where I feel most comfortable. and this is where
Hold on, that just lets you know the maturity level of this room and your room, that we all giggled at Gaylord. It's still funny.
We did, it's funny.
It never won't be funny. It's like farts. Gaylord and farts. They're immortal.
Now, what's at the Gaylord Convention?
So it's a Gaylord Convention Center, actually. It's not a Gaylord Convention.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Well, it actually is, really, ultimately. it's CPAC. And They denied my press pass, so I paid $600 for me and Ryan to come here as mere mortals, and we'll see if I get kicked out. But I'm not here to pick a fight. I'm here for unity and love, and if I get
You're not aiming to be kicked out.
No.
You're not going to do that thing where you just put like a camera in the face, be like, hey, you're a prick, and they kick you out and go, what happened?
Yeah, like Tim Heidecker and what's his name, the black guy who went down to...
Went down to the Republican convention, I think, at one point. And it was just so lazy. Yeah, it was just like, they put on like American flag panties and go, blah, 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 we're gay.
Yeah, and they just assumed that everyone was uptight, and they all just went, what are you doing? Have a seat. What's going on?
Have a beer, man.
It's embarrassing.
Did you get those shorts in the gift shop? Yeah, that's a hot selling item. It's basically CPAC's Tickle Me Elmo this year. Well, good. And by the way, even if you are invited to CPAC, you still have to pay $600 your own travel.
Oh.
That's why I hosted it for four years. And I hosted it for 4 years, 3 years over four. I got violently ill one time. And then it just, some people like it. It was not for me. I think it's been 6 or 7 years since I've been there. Well, hopefully you don't get kicked out. So here's my question, too. Speaking of drama, have you been following the debates at like specifically last night? Okay, good. You watched last night because no one did. It wasn't even trending on Twitter for the first hour and a half.
It wasn't.
No, it was really, really bad. Let me ask you this. We've been asking everyone today. How would you compare what you think the chances are of Donald Trump winning in 2020 today versus how you felt a year ago? Do you feel more strongly in the position or less?
It went from he was going to win by a mudslide about a year ago. Now he's going to win by a mega landslide. These dummies have been going on identity politics and platitudes for so long that now that someone's asking them to say something of substance, they're lost. They're screaming fools. And it was like Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. Last night was a brawl in a parking lot. There was broken eardrums. There was people falling backwards.
Wait, what's the analogy to Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury? That was a sanctioned bout on pay-per-view. That wasn't a brawl in a parking lot. Are you confusing with bum fights? Did you order the bum fights?
Yeah, that's a different thing.
Wilder and Fury was bum fights.
It was pretty close.
It was total anarchy. I mean, did you see that one point where he grabbed him and just started going...
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I started licking the blood off of him, which is weird because Tyson Fury is such a nice guy. He's not like a tight. It just seems a little out of character, but I like him. He's a brush of fresh air. Talk, Gavin.
I'm sure Pete Buttigieg is a great guy. I'm sure they're all nice, but you put them in the ring like that, and they just become.
Yes, exactly. I don't think Pete Buttigieg needs to be in the ring for that, though. I want to get back to the debates. I'm actually convinced that Pete Buttigieg, Pete Buttigieg's husband, is a beard. I think Pete Buttigieg is straight.
I've been saying that.
I don't think he's gay.
I've been saying that
it
for
seems
a while.
Like because he like came out in his 30s. Have you ever seen them kiss? It's like,
it's awkward.
I don't know. I don't think he's actually gay.
Well, that happens with a lot of gays. They try it for a few decades, and then they go, this is gross.
And then at that point, they've run out of alternatives. Who do you think the nominee will be based on the recent debates? Because Bernie is obviously the front runner. Bloomberg has more money than God. It's tough.
Well, I think it's Bernie is going to be the front runner. He's going to win everyone's He's going to win everyone's votes, but the DNC will rig it such that it's Warren and Klobuchar, and then they're going to say something stupid like, who is the president of Mexico? And that will be the end of the DNC.
Just, you know, you're not acting inconspicuous there at CPAC. Yeah. Every time someone with melanin in their skin walked by, you were like, what time is it?
No, I've got a lineup of hot broads waiting to talk
to right
you.
Off screen.
Oh. Oh, very nice. Okay, well, there you go. I just saw the one lady in the wheelchair, but I'm sure she's hot as well.
Here, do you want to do a selfie while I'm on Crowder?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
let the lady do a selfie.
Crowder selfie.
That way we can see. Oh, look at that. We found Waldo.
Okay, right here. Ready?
Oh, it's an American. That's adorable. Oh, well, good. That's a lot of fun.
No problem.
Now, I'm sorry, ladies, but I have to borrow Gavin for a minute because he was scheduled a week in advance, if you can believe it.
Yeah, you gotta let him go. We'll bring him back to the show.
Gavin,
I'm on the TV.
Gavin, compliment their physiques and then move on.
Okay. Nice meeting you.
I feel like you're my Rupert right now. I just want to send you through and make you say things that are very uncomfortable for you. But I know it's you'll be very quick to be kicked out. What was your favorite moment from the debates there this last week? There were a lot of them.
Oh, I liked when Biden said that he wrote a bill that he didn't write, and they went back and forth arguing about fact checks. Or wasn't there a part when Buttigieg and who was it? Was it Bloomberg, where they were just talking at the same time
yes.
for like 40 seconds?
Yes. Yeah, and then Biden jumped in and said, let me finish, when he wasn't even talking. Did you see that? I think it was Buttigieg.
Yeah.
And we talked about it yesterday, but it all bleeds together. No, then Biden said, let me finish. He hadn't spoken for a minute and a half. I think
he's
might actually have dementia. Some people thought I was joking yesterday.
Yeah.
I think he might actually have... dementia.
I think you're right. Like
worry
this
about
stuff
him.
About, did you see that 9-hour story he told the other day about some guy with a switchblade who was going to cut him? So he put a chain around his fist and they met in the parking lot.
I kind of love Joe Biden.
Did he really?
The story, he was a lifeguard in some dangerous neighborhood and he kicked out some dude who then got a straight razor and was going to meet him in the parking lot. And so he wrapped a chain around his fist. And he said, I apologize for the first part, but I don't apologize for kicking out of the pool. And he just
What?
Goes on.
What?
It's like a 9-minute story that he told at
man.
A podium. And people in the audience are like, can I go get popcorn? What's going to go on for?
Is there an intermission?
And only Vice President Joe Biden would tell a story to try and gain some territory, the good graces of blacks, and talk about being a lifeguard.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, like, if he couldn't be more out of touch. Like, he thinks that they're going to be like, oh, yeah, man, yeah, I hate my lifeguard, too.
Yeah. I spend all
when
my
I'm
time
swimming,
at the public pool.
Which I do all the time.
Yeah.
Constantly swimming. I'm a fish.
You know, lifeguards, they give me all the flack for my floaties.
Yeah.
Man, it's a problem. It would be fun if it were Biden. I think the issue with Bernie is, like, we talked about this yesterday and just earlier today as well. You know, he's a socialist, sort of a revolutionary, but he's talking about how the system is broken. 90% of Americans right now, this is the highest ever in our lifetime, are happy with their personal lives. They're also, it's also a decade high, I believe, as far as their satisfaction with the handling of the economy. So it's tough to revolutionize, to do a 180 on the economy when everyone is happy with it. And so I used to think Bernie was the hardest candidate to beat. And I think that was right a year ago because he would do better in the Rust Belt. But now that the economy has been swimming along, the socialist revolutionary seems less appealing.
Yeah, it's just really students with student debt that get excited about this stuff now. And I love how, by the way, the system is broken and Bernie's solution is, well, more system. Let's have
bigger government because the government isn't working properly.
Right.
Let's expand.
Right. Like, I always forget his name. Borrello, who's the Rage Against the Machine guy? Tom,
me,
whatever.
Know.
You know, Rage Against
De La Rosa?
No, that's another.
Oh, no, the other guy.
Ethnic
the other guy.
Sounding
right,
name.
Right.
No, it's a. I don't know, but he said, you know, Rage Against the Machine, and then he actually campaigned for Barack Obama. I don't understand how that works.
That machine.
Yeah.
You know, another option for the DNC is Bloomberg takes Hillary as his running mate, as his VP, right? He gets in, and then mysteriously Bloomberg gets depressed and kills himself.
Yeah, well, so does Alex Jones. Is it the second that he hears Bloomberg and Hillary Clinton are the tickets? It's just, you're just going to see his legs dangling next to his carbon block filter. It's not going to go well. That's not a slight to Alex Jones. I just can't think of a ticket that is more of a nightmare for someone like Alex Jones. Or the Rust Belt, either. They think they're going to win Michigan? Mm, yeah. Bloomberg? I don't understand this. All right, well, let me, in shifting, go ahead.
I'm opening for Alex Jones tonight. That sounds like a joke, but it's not. It's true.
Where are you speaking?
Talk at the Omni Hotel, a free speech thing.
Okay.
A seminar on free speech.
Now, was it, because you sent me a shirt that was free speech TV. Is it's censored.tv? For some reason, I thought it was free speech.
It was. I got sued by free speech TV.
Oh,
no.
So we had to change the name.
Who's free speech TV suing you? For
exactly.
Not that free.
Okay, all right. Okay, so it is censored.tv. I got that right. And I wanted to get an update here. This is something you wanted us to talk about, justiceforliberty.com. And this is from, if I'm not mistaken, was it one of the Proud Boys? Was it John Kinsman, who is, he's been sentenced to prison. How many years in prison now is he sentenced to?
4 years. Wow. 4 years.
4 years for effectively a bar fight with Antifa, where it was, there was mutual combat.
Exactly. They ambushed them. They said, let's do this. Proud Boys said, okay. Beat them up for 17 seconds. And now Max Hare and John Kinsman are in prison for 4 years. John Kinsman has three kids, three black kids, and he's in prison for being a member of a hate group. So we started Justice for Liberty for his baby, his newborn, Liberty, so they can do stuff like go visit them. They put these guys right at the Canadian border as kind of an FU to the friends and family. So right. It's now like a 17-hour commute to visit them, and that gets expensive. So we want Liberty to be able to see your dad.
Yeah.
And we're raising money at justiceforliberty.com.
Justiceforliberty.com. And you know, this is one thing I do want that really bothers me. You know, people always say this. Can you stop when you try to convince people that you're not racist? Can you stop saying you have black friends? It's like, well, hold on a second. Not only is that a legitimate defense, but you guys thought it was a legitimate defense, as seen in American History X, in that Edward Norton only learned the wrong ways of his racism when he had a black friend in prison. So having a black wife should kind of count.
Well, I wouldn't have brought it up if you didn't throw him in prison for being in a hate group. I wasn't running around before he was arrested going, oh, that's my friend John. That's his black wife. Look, she's totally black. She even has dreads. And those are his kids. Look, they're mixed. That's my friend. We didn't bring it up till they said, you're a member of a hate group and you hate black people. You're like, I'm married to them, dude. They started it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's I was looking at some of the charges. Was it attempted gang assault? I've never heard of that before.
Yep.
Because usually when gangs assault, it's not an attempt.
They tend to do a good job. They also got assault with a deadly weapon, and John's deadly weapon was he happened to have like a penknife in his pocket that never came out, but because it was on his person, it's a deadly weapon. And Max Hare was. Max Hare was kicking them with his boots. They made his boot a deadly weapon. It's
really?
Listed as like Exhibit B. Yeah, it was a total kangaroo court. And there was a third kid there, David Kyriakos. He was brown. They separated him from the trial so they could focus on this white power thing. And then when it was time for his trial, they just sort of went, it's over, forget it. You run along home. Because they realized it would disturb their narrative. It's a total frame job.
Right. Yeah. And that's really, I mean, I know people who, I knew a kid actually from my old high school who got kicked out for counterfeiting tickets to the school talent show. And then he was like a mule, because you mentioned the Canadian border, carrying drugs across the American border to Canada. This had been going on for a long time. I think the DEA had been tracking it. He only joined them the last 2 weeks, and then he ended up being one of the fall guys. And he only did a few months in prison for like a major drug trafficking ring. 4 years for a bar fight.
Wow.
Wow.
It's completely insane.
Well, I appreciate you trying to do what you can. It's justiceforliberty.com. And I know the show is Get Off My Lawn at censored.tv. We are going to go for people watching here on YouTube. If you are not a Mug Club member, go to lottoscutter.com/mugclub. Join up because we're about to go to the web extended with Gavin McInnes. Don't say McGinnis.
Yes.
One moment.
Lies. Deceit. Fake news. If you're feeling lost in a world gone mad, tune in to the Young Turks.
Facts don't care about your feelings.
You can Google it. It's really easy.
We actually have the facts on our site. No, I'm not buying any of that.
Covering the stories that matter.
They definitely don't learn about it in history classes.
So we're going to come back and show you how exactly right she is.
And getting to the facts that count.
And we'll give you even more facts. Everybody get triggered. Everybody get triggered.
Real talk. Real Turks. Watch the Young Turks live weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern.
Not again. Break yourself, fool!
If you don't join Mug Club, Maddie will die.
And now for the adventures of the White Privilege Boy. All right there now, Timmy. I know you're a teenager, but if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. You can't park your vehicle faced into oncoming traffic. Come on, let's move.
Well, gee, officer. I'm sure sorry. Can I just go back to my car?
No, I want you to follow my instructions. Either get down on the ground or follow me away from the vehicle.
But, officer... Can't I just get my PCP?
Nah, well, you know, usually I'd say no, but you can make it quick. Come on, get on out of here, you white rascal.
Oh, boy, I'm in a freebase.
Oh, those boys. What pickle will they find themselves in next? Stay tuned for next week's installment of Adventures of the White Privilege Boys. I'm sorry, I got distracted from the drowning dance this week for two reasons. One, your just hypnotic hips.
Oh, so nice.
Your hypnotizing hips.
I hypnotized myself and then I drowned.
Did you really?
I did.
You hypnotized yourself?
It's a power.
You need to become a therapist. And then I thought I broke this pipe. Sometimes people, by the way, Gavin McInnes, there's a great web extended interview for those who are not Mug
Club. He's a good guy.
And, you know, listen, I do have to say this. Please do consider joining up at Mug Club. We know that there are a lot of people. We can look at the numbers. A lot of people who watch on YouTube and check in. Some people rip it. We really do appreciate it that you want to watch the show. If you can afford it, $69 a year if you're a student. We can't keep the show going without it. So please do consider joining up at Mug Club. Lottoscutter.com/Mug Club. People often ask me if these are real pipes. They are. Yeah. Except this one. I don't use it because it was my grandfather's pipe.
Oh.
And so I was very concerned that I maybe broke it. I heard a crunch. It was just because it was very old.
Oh. A little creaky.
But my brother refurbished this. And then I realized this old pipe, it has what they call a stinger. And if you can see this in there, there's a little, I don't know if you can see the little metal tip in there. And the idea was it was supposed to sort of cool down the smoke before it went into your mouth. Are you trying to zoom in?
Where are we looking here?
There we go. You moved. Yes, meet me in the middle. There you go. See that? It's called a stinger.
Look at that focus, too.
The idea was, and the reason that I bring this up is not that pipe technology interests you, but it was supposed to cool down the smoke because... Metal is generally, steel is generally cool.
Yeah.
But it turned out people hated them because then what happened was it created condensation on the metal and it just made the pipes even more gurgly.
Wow.
In other words, they didn't know what they were doing with pipe technology back in the day. We're
trying to figure it out.
We've advanced leaps and bounds on pipe technology right now. Just go to the weed shops. You can even have little glass pipes that look like penises. So they know what they're doing. That's my point there.
Technology.
But, you see their influence everywhere. Big pipe.
Yeah.
So we do power. have, and we also, by the way, have an extended interview with Rudy Giuliani from Mayor Rudy Giuliani from last week. So I wanted to talk about something here. Someone paid me a compliment recently, and I really appreciated it, regarding the Giuliani interview. And if you've missed, the long form was actually really long, like 20 minutes behind the paywall for Mug Club. Someone said, well, you know, you really brought a lot out of him. We talked about cigars. I talked about his personal relationship with Trump, whether they had feuded, if Donald Trump, President Trump, had ever been mad at him. And he said, you know what? Yeah, we get over it in 3 minutes. So here's the thing. It was very enlightening to me. And that's how I try and conduct these interviews. I actually want to learn something from these people. I am blessed to be able to sit down with some of the biggest, most powerful people who've made the greatest impact in our generation sometimes, whether it's sports, whether it's politics, and I consider myself fortunate. But I think a reason that maybe sometimes say, hey, the interview is different on your show, I feel like you brought something out of him, it's pretty simple. When you compare, for example, Giuliani with, I think it was Kimmel or Colbert, you're just watching an interview with someone, myself. I don't want anything from Rudy Giuliani, and I don't hate him. That's it. I don't need a scoop. You guys tune in whether there's a scoop or not, whether it's Gavin McInnes or Rudy Giuliani. Probably more people will watch with Gavin McInnes. That's my point. Some people want the exclusive. I don't, and I don't hate him. And I want to say this. I think that I would interview Bernie Sanders better than Jimmy Kimmel could interview Bernie Sanders. Why? Because I also don't hate Bernie Sanders. And I don't want anything from him. Sure, I make fun of him. I hate some of his ideas. But I don't hate the man. And let me kind of, I realize what it is that really bothers me about Bernie Sanders. And again, it's not him personally. I have a problem with this progressive idea, the left, that, and Bernie really most crystallizes this, that money creates morality or dictates morality, and that money makes the man. Right? For a party, the Democratic Party, who claims to be so vehemently against bigoted generalizations, they sure have no problem doing it with any Tom, Dick, or Harry who happens to have the misfortune of carrying around a little more pocket change than you. And by necessity, they place more emphasis on money, people like Bernie, than most rich men. People who accuse the rich of being, and I understand there are corrupt banks, of course. I'm against bailouts for the banks, but I'm also against bailouts for GM and the UAW. I'm against bailouts across the board, not because of the fact that they have more money than me, the banks. I'm against it because it's wrong. If you don't run a business model, honestly, the taxpayer shouldn't have to foot the bill, whether you're GM, whether you're American Airlines or Goldman Sachs. It's not about the dollar amount. It's about what's right. And by these people on the left right now, they place more emphasis on money, ironically, they don't realize, than rich people. Because I want to be really clear about this. Money does not change the morality or the character of somebody. Money amplifies character. And you know what? A lot of people say, oh, Bernie is standing up and he's standing up to the man. No, it's easy. It's easy. Bernie's route is very easy, just like any socialist before him. And I don't mean that as some kind of a slight or a pejorative. That's what he calls himself. You can add Democratic in front of it, but who really cares? Just because you take a vote to steal doesn't make it right. The easiest thing in the world is to campaign on socialism. I don't give him any points for that, especially in Burlington, Vermont, the home of Ben and Jerry, for crying out loud. Why is it so easy? Because working in and appealing to vice is easy. What vice am I talking about here? Usually when people think about working in vice, they think about strip clubs, they think about bars, they think about drugs. What am I talking about? Covetousness. Whether you're rich or poor, if you are covetous, you, not the other guy with more, you are the evil one, regardless of what it is you're coveting. Regardless of whether you believe that their gain is ill-gotten or not, you are the covetous one. And I'm not saying that rich people cannot be covetous bastards. Of course they can. But so can poor people. So can people like Bernie Sanders. So can people who got gender studies degrees when their friends went into STEM fields and they want their student debt to be completely absolved. Those people can be covetous too. It's not just rich people. And the entire platform of Bernie Sanders and socialism, when you think it's based on one of the deadly sins, it is based on appealing to covetousness. That's the entire key. And just because you have less, I want to drive this home of it. It does not mean that you somehow are given the moral high ground. Some of the most despicable people, evil people throughout humanity, were very poor, started off that way. If you look at, I don't know, the Bundys, the Dahmers, I'm sure a few of them are in public housing. I don't know exactly. But the point is, you can find evil people regardless of financial level. And it has nothing to do with your checking account. So here's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is this, because this is something that all of us need to check. Myself included. You know what I covet? Sometimes I covet. Audio Wade was here this week, and we did a show. I think it was yesterday, and Audio Wade has been really stepping up. Audio Wade and Gibby here, they've been helping to produce a little bit more, have made my life a lot easier. And I think you acknowledged you came in yesterday, and I saw you get very tired, and I was like, oh, I can see that face. That's the dip.
And I was a little wiped out. Yeah.
You were a little wiped out. And I realized right away that a little part of me was kind of going like, oh, man, okay, I need to take something off his plate. But then a part of me was going like, see? See? Yeah. And imagine having to host this, because that is something that is – and sometimes I covet free time. That's true. Sometimes I covet free time that people have. Sometimes I've looked at people who are policemen, who are firefighters, who are bankers, and I go, oh, man, at least I get the clock out and go home. That's covetousness. That's wrong, because you know what? That may not be the plan for me. I may never be destined to work 8 hours. I may be destined to work 10, 12, 15 hours my whole life. I have no idea. But you know what else? I have something that a lot of people don't have, and I should be grateful for it. I get to do a job that means something to people. Not everybody has that. And I get to do a job that means something to me. So even though I don't get the clock out, and yeah, we have to work longer hours because we're doing a show that Samantha Bee and Trevor Noah do with less than a tenth of the staff, I shouldn't covet what other people have, because they're probably coveting something I have. Or if they're more of a man than I am, a better man than I am, they're not coveting, because they've learned how corrosive it is, and I've had to keep that in check. So my challenge to you is this. What is it that you covet? Whether you're a Bernie bro, whether you're a MAGA, whether you're a Never Trumper, more importantly, not only what do you covet, what decisions do you make in your day-to-day life based on your covetousness? It's human nature. We all have it. Are you voting based on your covetousness? Because you want what the other guy has? Are you voting for student loan absolvement? Are you arguing with your wife because you're maybe jealous? You covet the fact that she doesn't have to work the same hours that you do. Are you maybe covetous of, I don't know, a new quarterback Garrett, might a new guitar of someone else, or a new Nintendo Wii? Something gay.
Hey.
My point is,
I like the Switch.
The Switch, that's right, the Switch. Quick save. I have no problem with you playing the Switch. Just don't unionize. So I want you to take a second here. And if you're listening on audio, you're listening to a television show. But I want you there as well. There is bonus material.
We appreciate
you. Yes, we do appreciate you. And we're doing some bonus material for those who aren't subscribed. I guess it's not iTunes anymore. It's Apple. Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, that's
Podcasts.
Right. They got rid of
that. I don't know. Yeah. Wherever we are. And if you're on an Android, just keep a Samsung far from your face. We don't want it exploded. But I want you to write this down. Pause it if you have to. What do you covet? What decisions are you making in your day-to-day life based on your covetous nature? Because we all have it. Write it down. And then what I want you to do, and if you haven't written it down, you're not doing this exercise. And believe me, when people have you do these stupid things like write down your worries and put them on a balloon, that's stupid. It doesn't help anybody. And that balloon it's not going to go as high as you think it is. You probably can't afford helium. It's just some kid's going to take it and think like, why is this person writing down my wife is cheating on me? Like, just don't. Write down your problems and put them on a balloon. That's my point. I knew a therapist who said that one time. No longer a therapist. Dead. So, this is the next. Write down what it is that you covet. And then I want you to turn that into, proactively, gratitude. Because for every one thing that you covet, for every one thing that you wish you had that you don't have, guess what? There's a balance with that. There's probably something you have on the flip side of that coin that somebody else that doesn't have that they want. In other words, if you're coveting someone's money, you're going, man, to be a millionaire or a billionaire, guess what? Guarantee you there's a billionaire somewhere in your state or the other side of the world coveting your free time. If you're coveting someone's wife, and that's a common one, guarantee you there's someone else out there right now who is coveting not having an abusive wife. Not saying that person's wife specifically. I definitely think you should find a good wife. A man who finds a good wife finds what is good. Let's say girlfriend. Maybe you covet a man's car. Guess what? There's some guy out there who probably is coveting not having that kind of an overhead payment because he bought a new car, dipped 30% when he drove it off the lot. Whatever it is that you covet, there is something to be said for turning it into gratitude, or at least recognizing what it is that you have that maybe someone else doesn't have. And not only do I want you to do this in your personal life, but we do need to have this conversation with people out there, because covetousness, slothfulness, that's no way to vote in the leader of the free world, folks. And that's what bothers me about Bernie Sanders. All right, we'll see you next week. There is no show on Monday, so don't covet people who have a host who does a show on Monday, because we're doing a super video. We'll be back Tuesday. It only takes a time.